a fine line that keeps me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old. Keeps me searching for a heart.
I know, youngsters, you don't even know what song it is. It's okay. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. You'll get it as we move through things. Good morning. No Happy New Year yet. No Happy New Year yet. But we're here. The last day of the year. Pretty cool. And we're together. You decided to come. You didn't go traveling. Why are you here? What are you doing? Most of you aren't working. But before we get going, something's buzzing. You know, I'm getting old. Getting old. All right, this is dangerous with me back here. You know, one of these days, I'm just going to pick up a guitar, and I'm going to start rocking it. Here we go. I don't have my glasses. I can't touch this thing. Oh. That didn't do it. Are any of you helpless without your glasses? What would you do if I just got up here and just started rocking some song, and it was so good? There's somebody new in the room, and they're thinking, who is this Yahoo? But before we get going, I want to say thank you, kind of in a collective way, but especially those who've helped with the budget. Some of you are back page watchers, and you don't admit it, you don't say it, but we were behind for a long time, and there's been nothing set up front, and that is by design. We want you to know that you can bring people to this church anytime, and they're not going to be gone after for money. We're going to live on whatever it is that God gives us. Are you coming up to help me? Do I look like I need help?
No.
I do. I need so much help. Whenever somebody asks me at a store or anywhere and says, do you need any help? I look at them, I go, you have no idea. No, I'm serious. Try it sometime. You have no idea how much help I need. And they just start laughing at me. But we were way behind, as I mentioned. And bam, we are climbing back up. And I just appreciate it. And there's been a lot given this week, and you guys are just going to kill it today, I'm sure. So to begin today, what are you searching for, really? Because 2018 is coming. It's coming at us. You can't stop it. It's going to be here shortly. So what are you searching for, really, in your heart of hearts? And I want to challenge you today, certainly, about some thoughts that you might want to start searching for, and it might be really cool. So today's theme, listening to Jesus. Because if he's not in it, I mean, there's normal life that we have to care for all day long. Your lawn needs to be mowed. And what I say is, get a good, well-priced gardener. It's just the truth, too much truth. Too realistic I am, as you'll see later if we get there. A world-class jockey, I mean, top of the game, world-class jockey, is about to enter a competition on a new horse. The horse trainer, by the way, this is about listening. The horse trainer meets him before the race and says, all you have to remember, and this is really important, with this horse is that every time you approach a jump, you have to shout, alley-oop. You have to shout it really loudly in the horse's ear. Providing you do that, everything will be fine, and you'll probably win the race. The jockey thinks the trainer is crazy, but promises to shout the command. The race begins, and they approach the first hurdle. The jockey ignores the trainer's ridiculous advice, and the horse crashes straight through the center of the jump. Just right through it. Kept going. They carry on and approach the second hurdle, and the jockey, somewhat embarrassed because of what he said, what he promised, whispers, alley-oop, in the horse's ear. Same thing happens. A horse crashes straight through the center of the jump. Just boom, bam, right through. At the third hurdle, the jockey thinks, this is no good. I guess I have to do it. And he yells, alley-oop, really loudly. Sure enough, the horse sails over the jump with no problems. Smooth as silk. This continues for the rest of the race, but due to the early problems, the horse only finishes third in the race. The trainer is fuming and asks the jockey, what went wrong? What went wrong? The jockey replies, nothing is wrong with me. It's this stupid horse. What is he, deaf or something? The trainer replies, deaf? Deaf? No, he's not deaf. He's blind. To those of you who've heard that joke before, thank you for being silent. Alley-oop. Alley-oop. So learning to listen, is there a way that we could possibly get to a place where we could listen more intently to Jesus and therefore be changed, be molded into what he wants more than what we want, to be sort of gently maneuvered in life, day in and day out, to the life that Jesus would want for you and for me? So let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for each man, each woman in this room, and I pray that you'd bless each of us in your own special way. We certainly welcome you into this room, and we want you to be the leader, the guide of our life. We appreciate you in so many ways. There are too many to be numbered. But we certainly want to communicate our gratefulness to you directly for who you are, Jesus, for what you did for us and what you continue to do. And we want to know you more completely in 2018 than we do today. We want to grow. We want to move our life more towards you. And I pray that would happen in each of our lives, gently and beautifully over time, that we would be willing to hear stuff that sometimes we really don't want to hear, that we'd have a heart and a mind that we're open to that. So, Lord, take us now. Touch us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, Jesus had just had a conversation with some Sadducees. And he was amazing, you know. He wasn't a good guy to get in a debate with. You just lose. And people were in awe of him, except the religious leaders who felt like he was taking their popularity away. And so should we be. And I'm hoping that we continue to get more and more fascinated by him as time goes on. We'll look at Matthew 22:34. We'll pick it up there. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, this was a discussion about the resurrection and how we'll come back. And Jesus sort of straightened them out about marriage and afterlife. And he took them on and he blew them away, as he always does. And so that was common knowledge now. He had left that spot. And the Pharisees got together and they devised a plan to go after him. And many of you know these verses that we're going to talk through. But hopefully we'll put a different light on them. And it will find its way into your heart and mind and home and life more so. So the Pharisees got together, and one of them, who was chosen because I believe he was so bright, one of them, an expert in the law, he was a scribe, a lawyer, and we understand lawyers. I'm not going to say any lawyer jokes because I'm not going to. But there's as many of those jokes as there is Chuck Norris jokes. But we're going to leave that alone today, pretty much. But what a lawyer really is they're bright. Or they're not a lawyer, or certainly not a good one. They're quick thinking. They're logical thinkers. They can, you know how most of us, you get in a conversation, and you run off on a little tangent. You have no idea what you were talking about before that tangent. I mean, you have this blank look in your face as you're looking at your friend, and you go, what was I talking about like 35 seconds ago? Nothing. Blank. See, lawyers aren't like that. They have this capacity in their brain. It always impresses me when I see it and hear it. It just continues. It's like linear. It just goes. They're very bright people, and they earned it. They went to school. They had to study those big, gnarly books that we don't even want to know about, right? But he would have been quick-minded. He would have been good on his feet. He would have been a public orator of sorts. and would have been their top guy. So an expert in the law, not just a guy that was good at the law, an expert, tested him with this question. And he said this to him, "Teacher," which is a term of respect, certainly, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And I'm so glad this guy asked this question, because we get to plant ourselves on the response, which we're certainly going to look at. But he's really asking here, what is the greatest commandment of Moses? That may not be our thinking when he asked this question, but in his mind, as a good Jew, he was asking, what is most important that Moses said? He's asking, what's the top of the 10? You know, the 10 commandments, you know those? There's 10 of them. And so here we have it. Here we go. Jesus is going to answer to you and to me what the most important things are for us in 2018, and maybe even the rest of today before it gets here. He's answering for all of us, not just these Pharisees and the scribe, but you can take this to the bank, that Jesus wants you and me to do what he's about to talk about. And somehow, if we can learn how to train our brain and take what's in our brain and put it in our heart, because we're the only ones that can do that, nobody else will force it down. Our hearts can become cold, they can become callous, they can stop a truth. Truth can get in our brain, and it can't get close to our heart. It's so important we open our hearts to whatever we want. And it's so important what you open it to. So first off, Jesus wants us to start right. Start right. And we're talking about every day. Jesus wants us to choose the right target all the time. And somehow, if you get this at the baseline of your life and everything comes out of that, you live a more sane life, at least spiritually. He wants us to be on course from the start, all day, every day. And he gives us a clear definition of where to start, what's most important. And you know what I'm going to say, so we're not going to spend a lot of time here. But in verse 37, Jesus replied, "Here you go, Mr. Lawyer, big time scribe, really bright guy." He didn't say that and wasn't sarcastic, I don't think. He just went right into it, but I thought we should be, just for entertainment value. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God." Starts right out. Baseline. This is who you want to be. This is who I want to be. I want to love the Lord. I want to be known for this. And it doesn't mean I have to wear love the Lord clothes. You can if you want, if you enjoy that. And then he goes on to describe with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind. This is a very, very large request. Enormous. This is the first and the greatest command. Nothing will ever supersede this. So every day of our life, my wife started doing something. I'm going to talk about her a little bit today, and I didn't ask permission, and that's always scary. Now she's terrified, and Steve Lee is looking at the back of her head to see if it goes like this. He does that. He tells the stories. Sandy's shoulders go up. So, no, don't. Oh, no, don't tell that story. He knows more than I know. I know what she looks like. I get to live with her. When I'm talking like this, I don't look at her because I don't want to see the no face. I'm just not even looking. I know she's right, probably right down there. But she has on her iPhone, and most of you have that. Some of you are Android people, and we will pray for you consistently. Sorry, Grant, that was a little shot over the bow, just for fun. What comes up on her phone every morning is, what does God want me to do today? And I see it every now and again, not every day. And I'm a little jealous that she thought of it and the pastor didn't. I should have been the one, John, that thought of that. And so in the morning, Sandy thinks, what does God want me to do? Well, I'm going to answer her today as a pastor of this church. You know, this is sort of a holiday message, okay? We can mess around, all right? You all right with that? Just keep me out of trouble, people. But Jesus is clear that this is the number one priority. Nothing is more important than this, for you to love the Lord your God. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever let loose of that. Somehow grab that sucker and plant it in your brain and push it down to your heart and say, this is who I'm going to be. I may fail at times, but this is who I want to be. This is who I want to be. That's our number one priority, Jesus is saying. Most important thing you can do all day, every day. So what is he asking us? Just to try to break this down, unpack a little bit. Number one, to love the Lord your God. And what is it to love him? Well, simply put, it's to be willing to listen to him. You got to hear him to love him. I mean, if my wife said, look, I'm going to stick with you through the rest of our life, but I'm just not going to talk to you anymore at all. That wouldn't be fun. Because, you know, when you have that silent thing going on, a little punishing back and forth, you know, minor for those of us that love God. You're not laughing with me. You're too tight. Oh, I do that? Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Just get silent, maybe for 5 minutes. See, now we're getting edgy. Yeah, that silent thing, like you're too cool for school. We've got to listen to him. Can't go silent on him. He said a lot of stuff to us. Boy, to be willing to listen to God. It's the only way you're ever going to love him. The absolute only way. To be willing to follow him. You hear what he says. You take in what he teaches. And you say, yeah, I'm going to aim at that. I'm going to fail. I'm going to miss target often and regularly. But I know what I want to do. I want to follow. And I want to follow well. I want to be one of those full-time guys that follow him. And certainly we submit to him. Same idea there, but it has a different connotation. We don't really like the word submit because it speaks of being forced. Well, yeah, I want you to force you. I'm not going to force you, but I want you to force you to submit to. That's what he's asking for. When he says, love him, Jim. Just love him. And to worship him, not just with music, but in our life throughout the course of our day. Think about him. I don't know how many times Sandy and I call each other during the day for absolutely nothing. It's like a waste of time. Hi, sweetie, how you doing? What's up? You talked to me an hour and a half ago, not much more. Sorry. I don't want you calling her all the time. I'll change her number. I care. I don't worship her, but on a human level, you may be special to me, but you aren't like my wife to me. But he becomes the love of your life. That's what he's asking for when he says, love the Lord, your God. This is always our greatest command. And it's kind of an easy one to get. Not to do, but to get. The second thing he's asking us is to love him with all that we are. And we're not going to go into detail here. We have before. But all your heart, soul, and mind. The best of us focused on loving God. The best of us resolute on loving God. Decisions been made that that's what we want to do. And we'll fail. It's not about perfection. It's about desire. It's about being trained by the words of Jesus. It's about listening to him. For real. The heart, soul, and mind is the best of us fully committed to loving God. Within your own personality makeup, your own gift mix, and who you are. But if somebody asks, what do you really want to do? I really want to learn to love God more completely. I want to love Jesus more completely this next year. Whatever that looks like. So question today as we move through things. How much of you, honestly, is focused on loving God? There's an answer to that question. Now, you still got to do your workplace stuff. You still got to live life with your mate if you have the privilege of being married, with your family, with whatever responsibilities you have. How much of you is willing to love God? That's the more important question. Are you fully willing to love God? That's what he wants. And then he will make the path for you. You don't have to force it. You don't have to force it. And number three, Jesus wants us to understand this love is a priority. I think that's what he's saying in verse 37. This is to captain our ship. This is to be more important than anything because we choose it to be because we're listening to Jesus. You see the connection there? This is to be the driving force of our life, and we make it so. God won't come down and force it on us. He just presents it to us. And we can grab it if we want. Our energy needs to pursue this in our life, as well as all other responsibilities that we have under our umbrella of our life. One guy from San Antonio wrote this. He says, "It's obvious that I love the Spurs, who were the NBA basketball, or the NBA basketball team. Tim Duncan, who is on the San Antonio Spurs," which this illustration is from a few years back, "is at the moment," he said, "considered one of the greatest players of the sport." And if you remember him, if you're a Laker fan, you remember him maybe in negative ways. But he was awesome. He was awesome. I mean, that's the only word you can say. Tim Duncan routinely frustrated sports reporters as they interview him. And you may remember this if you care about basketball. The reporters wanted to talk to Tim about how great he is. He really is. He's awesome. To reflect upon his accomplishments, to pump up his reputation. But each time, Tim deflects praise from himself. And you can't go back and see this, but some of you know this is true. He rejects the opportunity for self-indulgence, and instead he talks about how great the other players on the Spurs are and how he wouldn't be who he is without them. He was the ultimate team guy. He didn't have a lot of personality when he was interviewed. It was kind of funny. When he came to the mic, I would listen because the guy wasn't getting nothing out of him. So when I read this, I remembered it. But he goes on to say, the reporters don't seem to know what to do with him. They don't know what to do with him. He frustrated them. For they've never had an NBA star who is so self-secure, he doesn't need to talk about himself. He didn't need to. And this is true. If you remember him. The writer goes on to say, my suspicion is that Tim, who's a devoted believer, Christian, understands that Jesus is the authority in his life. And all the NBA championships in the world and all the hoopla from adoring fans don't measure up to who Jesus is and what he alone can accomplish in our lives. And what a thought that we could be in a place where we so love the Lord that life really doesn't have to be about me. It doesn't mean I don't celebrate my life and my friends' lives together, naturally. But the spotlight doesn't have to be on me ever to feel okay and approved. That's not what my life's about, as there's about 10 spotlights staring right at me right now. Just ironic. You didn't think that was that funny? I did. Second thought from Jesus as we move through this. Jesus gives his expectations to us. Expectations is a big word. It is an interesting word. But the truth is, if you work for somebody, your employer has some expectations for you. And if you don't understand them, they will sit right down with you and tell you what they are. And they may even modify them for 2018 and bump them up a little bit, right? Every marriage has them in place. And if they're wrong expectations, you have a messy marriage. And it's not fun. But my wife has an expectation. I say this, and everybody says, Jim, you shouldn't say that. But she has an expectation that I don't get a girlfriend. And her mom and dad sitting right next to her would agree with that expectation, by the way. But you see my point. I mean, there's some reasonable expectations that make sense. Jesus has some for us as well. And he goes on in verse 39. He says, and most important thing, love the Lord with all that you are. The second greatest command is like it. It involves the same virtue as the first, love. It's buried in that. It's dipped in that. And he says, love your neighbor. So he connects this idea of loving God and loving your neighbor. It's connected here. It's to be the fabric of our life, that our life exists on this truth, that we live this truth. So love for God is our top priority, followed closely by our love for others. Jesus expects us to follow through on that. So what is he asking? Number one, to love your neighbor, obviously. It's what he says right there. Your neighbor is anybody that's close to you, no matter where you are. It's not about the person that lives to your left or right at home, although they are your neighbors in a defined way. Sometimes they're hard to love. It's very interesting if they have a big dog that barks all night. We have a neighbor across, I'm going negative. I'm trying to not do that. Well, it's not 2018 yet. I don't have to worry about that. Oh, it's good to laugh at yourself often. But across the valley from where we live, you got quite a pad. They have Indian weddings there. And it's fascinating. We sit out there and watch them sometimes. They've had elephants down there. You know, the music is different. And sometimes really good. Sometimes not so good. And but what they do every week is on Saturday, they have this huge yard that's built down into the valley. It's gorgeous, gorgeous. Their gardener comes for about 3 or 4 hours on Saturday. Saturday is a day that I sit home and study and open the windows and watch football or basketball or whatever. Saturday. Gardeners should be off on Saturdays. I'm just saying. Okay. So Jesus wants us to have genuine love for others in our heart. This is important to him. And to love others, as you know, requires actions. It doesn't just, you can't think love and it goes out. It may on some level, but when you say you love somebody, I want to know, well, what'd you do? What actions did you take? That's a fair question if you tell me you love somebody. It requires action if it's real, if it's to be lasting. You got to move. You got to do something. And it's a beautiful thing to love another person and to do something, to have them in mind. It's very cool. Jesus is also asking us, number two, to build a heart of gold. You knew it was going to come. He wants you to search and to find a heart of gold inside of you. Inside of you. We're to be people, if you're going to be a lover of other people with a big heart, that's frankly bigger than a lot of people that you live around and function around and work around. You be that guy. You be that girl because of Jesus and what he requests. Let the blessings flow however he wants. Don't try to be in charge of those blessings or the gift that you're giving to other people by loving them. Just listen to him all day, every day, in the midst of your life, whatever it is. He's asking us to be men and women who care deeply for other people, not just about our own lives. That comes natural. But to take our concern and give it away, I'm telling you, some of the hardest work you'll ever do in your life. It'll put you in bed at night, not because you were working out or you're physical, but because emotionally, as you love people all day long, it drains you, and it's a beautiful drain. It's the purpose of your life and mine beyond loving God himself. We're to be a person who goes the extra mile. We don't quit. Our love doesn't stop because of what Jesus says. Not because of what we want, but we, remember, the whole point of this is we want to listen to him in 2018. And you can today if you want. We're to be people who look out for other people, not just take care of ourselves. I don't know what that looks like for you, but if you determine that this is who I want to be because Jesus tells me and I want to be a listener of him, it'll affect your life. It'll affect the output of your life, and it could be beautiful. Number three, Jesus is asking us to give this love away constantly. This is to be our life. This is to be a passion in our life. He expects this from us. That's a big word, expectation. You guys are all turning, you going somewhere today? For he wants us to make a serious effort in our life to seeing that other people are loved. You can plan it out in your day timer, whatever you got, on your iPhone. Who am I going to love today? Not only what does God want me to do today, but who am I going to love? Give me a name. Give me a person. Give me a thing that you're going to do today. Just write it in. Plan it. This is me. I'm going to do this. Plan it for the month. Whoever you are, if you're a planner, go nuts. To be willing to go out of your way is what Jesus is asking. To be willing to be that guy, that person that shows up. Everybody knows we're all limited. All of us, pretty much, let's just admit it, we're busy. When we stop some of that busyness and we show our concern for another person, we're loving them. We need to give that away constantly. A third thought is Jesus builds motivation into us. He builds motivation into us. It's already in you. It's in you. It's in you. Jesus gives us a little tidbit here, and that's all it is. A little morsel, if you will, a tasty morsel that has a message in it. He says this at the end of verse 39. He says, love your neighbor. How? He doesn't give a list of things to do. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. This is a big deal. You get this and you'll begin to, you can be fueled differently if you understand this. Okay, so I'm to love others as I love me. I'm to love others as I love me. That's all he's saying here. So use the love I naturally have for me, as an example to love others throughout the course of my day. As an inspiration to love others. How do you feel when somebody comes alongside and encourages you about this or about that? You feel good. Momentarily, life goes on. But most of us, we don't have much encouragement in our life. So therefore, we learn to live without it. And it's really, really sad. And it's just the truth. And we all kind of go, oh, you're right, Jim. I want to be the guy that encourages whether I'm encouraged or not. And I want to tell you, I love being encouraged. I dig it. You are welcome to encourage me anytime you want. Jesus is asking us a couple of things here. Number one, to use our natural love for self. That's what he's asking. Now, unless you've been deeply, deeply hurt in the past, and some of you in this room have, and stories that we'll never know, and that's fine. But unless you've been deeply hurt in the past, you probably have a pretty high view of you. Sometimes when people have been deeply wounded, their self-image is in the tank, and they don't have a very high view of themselves. That's another deal. But most of us in this room, if we're honest, we have a pretty high view of ourselves. Thank you for the grins that are in the room, because you're with me. We tend to believe the best about ourselves, and we cut ourselves slack sometimes when we don't cut somebody else slack. I know you hate this stuff, but it's just the truth, and really, it's what changes us. We generally forgive ourselves pretty quickly when we have a little failure because we know the good inside of us. And this will... We're not always so quick to forgive somebody else because they hurt us. That's why we need to forgive them. Listen, Jesus knows you and me. He made us. That love that you and I have for ourselves, he wants to use that. That's what he's getting at. This is the secret sauce in this whole expectation of us loving other people. Our love for ourselves need to be repurposed and not just focused on ourselves. If it's focused on us, it's full narcissism. And however much you want to get in that, all of us have tried a little piece of it. And, you know, if you take in too much of that, you get a little bit nuts. If you're too into you, you end up not thinking right. You don't know what's messed up. The love that you have for you needs to be repurposed to other people. And Jesus planned that. He put that in us. Just think about that for a second. Number two, the idea here is to continually love as you want love. I'm trying to break this down so we can all understand it. So I love the way I want to be loved. Figure out, what do you want? Write down what you want. Start giving that away. Jesus wants our own need for love to inspire us to love. If you don't get that connection, you're not refueled to love. You go, oh man, I'm sick and tired. He wants it to encourage us to love others. The golden rule, Joe's going to throw it up. Y'all know it. Pretty much have it memorized. Matthew 7, 12. There it is. So in everything in your life, everything. Sorry, Carlos, I don't need you for this one. Do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the whole Old Testament, whole thing. Just do to others what you'd like them to do to you. Number three, Jesus is asking us to stay motivated in loving others. This can go away so quick when you get overburdened or you get emotionally dried up. We all have so many emotional units for every week, every day. And once you use those up, you start borrowing on tomorrow's or next week's. And you only have, that's why you need to retreat away. That's why you need to be quiet at times to recharge. And the idea here is to fight to not lose the motivation to love others, because Jesus says it's so important and we really want to listen to him. Jesus has placed a constant reminder in me and in you. The way I want to be loved, I need to love other people. So step one in every situation in life is to love God. It's where it starts. And don't ever let go of that baby. Figure that one out for you. And head towards that always. And I'm to do it with all my heart, mind, and soul. Another passage says, my strength, all that I am. A refusal to love God, to love Jesus as a priority, stops or at least limits our love for others. You won't get to number two if you don't do number one. Trust me. Trust Jesus. If you don't do step one, you're never doing step two, ever, ever, ever. You want a great marriage? You live out number one and number two individually and then corporately. It makes for a great marriage. Not a perfect one. Nobody has one of those. Please don't raise your hand if you think you do. Love is the most powerful thing we can ever do or we can ever experience. And that is just the truth. One of the realities of the power of love is when somebody loves us well, we feel, we gain confidence in them. You ask, where is your confidence in God found? Well, how much do you love him? You set out in 2018 to love God, to love Jesus at a higher level, and you watch your confidence in God go up. That's the benefit you get. But when somebody loves us well, and especially consistently, we feel confidence in them. We know even if something negative happens that they certainly didn't intentionally harm me because they never had before. Maybe it was just a bad day, bad pizza. And they'll probably be our friend no matter what. David Goldstein, commander over there, he sent me a Christmas card, or gave it to me last week. And I read it like four times. And based on who he is, what his life represents, and the privileges he's got, and as stinking smart as he is, that's all because of God, not just him. Please understand that. He worked, but God blessed him with a great brain. And here he loves this C student and says, your life has impacted me so much. And I'm thinking, this doesn't make sense to me because you're really smart and I'm not. See, this is the work of God. And I felt so loved, I had to text him back. I didn't send him a card. So I'll probably spell something wrong, and he'd get a red pen out and correct it and send it back. He wouldn't do that, I don't think. The there and the there, you know, which one? Is that too much? But that his card deeply touched me because of who he is, because what God is doing in our midst, And it just felt good. Well, what do we learn? Let's bring this to a close. I want to close well. I got a surprise for you if it happens, but if I continue to cough, I may not do it. Maybe Jesus is saying, no, don't do that. Maybe Sandy doesn't know what it is and is thinking, God, make him cough. Number one, placing Jesus in the right place is wise. Understanding that loving him is a priority makes you different, and it influences your future very positively. It puts you into his hands. You're not in control much anyway, truth be told. And Jesus can give you a better life, as I say often, and over time, he'll make you a better person if you give yourself to him, if you welcome him into your life and into different parts of your life. He'll give you a better life, and he'll make you a better person. You don't do it. You respond, but you don't really get the credit. Jesus does this stuff. This only happens if we welcome him, if we listen to him. And number two is responding to his expectations is wise. It's just wise. They're clear, his expectations. We're to love him with all that we are, and we're to love others the way we want to be loved. Everybody, a third grader can figure that out. Doing it's not as easy as figuring it out, no doubt. The only thing that we can control completely, because, you know, we think we're better at controlling things than you really are. Sorry to tell you that at the end of the year. But the only thing we can control completely in this life is how we respond to something, because you are in charge of that. You have a free will. You can choose anything you want, anything, good, bad, or ugly. And how we react to requests. And my hope is today that you'll say, I'm listening. I am going to listen in 2018 and the last day of 2017. When or if we respond appropriately to what Jesus asks, we end up wise. And number three, connecting to your desire for love is wise. This is what Jesus puts in us. And it's brilliant, this desire for love. And this is a constant in our life. Until the day we die, we have a desire to be loved. And the truth is, every day you want to be loved by somebody. You may have learned to live without it because of your situation, but it's what you really want. If you will take that want, that desire, that internal mechanism, and allow it to motivate you every day, and turn that sucker around and realize that's from Jesus, and yeah, you need to be loved. I want you all to be loved more, completely. But I'm, and Jesus is more concerned about you turning around and taking that motivation and serving him and loving others. Now go and love others with that same love. So I'm going to get a little bit personal here today just because it's kind of one of those days off. And I don't know if you're going to enjoy this, but this is to close today. Again, I did not ask permission, but I think it's okay. Usually I do. But I just didn't. This just been on my mind a little bit. But Thursday night, Sandy and I were in the desert, and we had a discussion that I didn't like. It irritated me pretty good. And, you know, I'm a big boy, right? Not as big as I used to be, which is kind of cool. But the discussion was about getting negative on certain things. You know, she's that closest person to me. And so she had the courage to bring this up with me. And I'm not going to give you the details because it's none of your business. You didn't expect details, did you? And I've thought about it a lot since Thursday night at about 7:25. And here's what I've come up with for me. Not her. It's not about her. This is about me. Okay? That's where I stay safe. And I stay in the same bedroom. Now, I see myself personally. Again, this is personal. We're not teaching the Bible now, okay? I see myself as a realistic guy. I'll say it. I want to be authentic. I want to be real. I don't want any fake stuff. I don't like it. I live in a real world. I don't deny the truth. I try because of my job and my desire to live the truth every day, all day, to the best of my ability. And he's going to throw up, yeah. So I see myself as a realistic guy. Now let's define what that is. What is it to be realistic for our purpose today? Being realistic is telling the truth to me. It's telling the truth. It's being defined and detailed in your life. And I am. I know, for instance, if you're a lady, you will never be alone with me in my life eating food. That's not a Bible standard. That's Jim's standard. Never, ever. Now, if three gals wanted to go to lunch with me, I'd go to lunch with them in a heartbeat. But I wouldn't want to meet one alone. I won't do it. I won't do it. Now, if somebody needs to meet with me, there's a possibility I might go to a Starbucks. My wife knows where I'm at, and we're there for a short time, and there's no hug, no touch, none of that. So I'm a redneck about that for me. It's just one of those little rules I've lived by. I'm not getting in trouble there. The two things that can make a guy like me lose his job and influence is women and money. And I stay a million miles away from both of them. That's just my little world. I'm defined that way. I'm realistic. I've seen other guys go down in flames. I'm not doing that. Being realistic is being honest about the negative. Maybe I should have put this up here. I don't know. Didn't. So you're out of luck. Being realistic is being as accurate as possible. That's what it is. And I want to be that guy. But there's another term that I'm thinking needs to be wedded. I met with my brother-in-law. Don't put it up yet, Joe, till I say. I met with my brother-in-law. We meet at, I hate to admit this, but at the Yellow Vase on Saturday mornings often. Just way too girly, but it's okay. We're men. In Malaga Cove. Sit far apart from one another, but we're there. And we take notes, and I told him a little bit about this discussion because he's close with me. Now I'm telling all of you, so who cares, right? But we got to talking about this and how I felt. And in our musings, this is what came out. And this is how Jesus shows up in my life. It's not Greg, isn't Jesus, believe me. Just my brother-in-law. But he's a smart guy. And when we have these discussions, I take notes. There's a big piece of paper on this picnic table. I've got 15, 20 of them with our notes on them. But we talked about being hopeful. You can put it up now. So this is what happened in my life this week since Thursday night when my wife really, really irritated me. I want you to know. The problem is she was really, really right. And I needed to hear what she said. I didn't like it. Not a bit. I got silent for a little bit. We just watched Law and Order for about 40 minutes and didn't move. Didn't say anything. Didn't react. There was steam maybe coming out. I don't know. Didn't react. You could ask her later. But let's define hopefulness just for a moment. Going too long. Hopeful, being hopeful is trusting God for a better outcome. It's being positive even when realistic and something might be negative. It's realizing that God's influence can change things for real. And it's understanding that no one is outside the reach of Jesus. So what I'm going to do in 2018, because of my wife irritating me. Did I say that enough? Yeah, I know. And telling me what was right and what I needed to hear. And then the next two or three days thinking about it and trying to massage it, maneuver it, and how does it fit in for 2018. I'm going to stay realistic. I will not take that out of me. It's a part of my being. It's who I am. Some people live with rose-colored glasses on. I don't. And I think it's cute when they put their rose-colored glasses on. It's really cute. I've got a best friend that does that. I'll leave that alone. But I'm going to stay hopeful. And what it's going to do, especially in these personal areas, it's going to make life better for me and what it's about. What it's about doesn't even matter. But I wanted to share this with you. You've got to figure out your hurdles that you've got in life with who you are. And when you do so, and you maybe even let your wife or your best friend speak into your life without giving them the silent treatment too long. Do you get what I'm saying here? Are we communicating here today? All right, let's pray. We're done. Lord, thank you for giving us truth, for telling us what's to be most important to us. And oh, may we become lovers in 2018, big time. And may we use what you gave to us inside of our hearts and minds to inspire us regularly to love other people the way we want to be loved. And Lord, may we in our marriages listen to one another, not pick on each other, but be courageous enough to tell the truth and then make what changes are needed. And may we be people that are forever and always hopeful in every way that we can be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day. Can I get a hug? Okay. Just want to make sure.